What is it? I don't see anybody. Boy.
Jeff.
Hello, how are you, Steve? I see you.
Almost see you. Uh-oh, there's trouble.
Why is there trouble?
Ryback's here. You need a beard trim.
All right.
I see Cal.
Okay.
Need a haircut.
We all need haircuts.
You bet.
I don't have any hair. Not up here, at least.
We just need to take an oyster to the sides.
Oh, hey, Jeff, you're looking just like me.
No, I can take off my glasses. Look at me now.
I'm looking at you.
You look like Walt Whitman.
Walt Whitman. All right, I'll take that.
You look like Hemingway who's constipated, Steve.
Look like Hemingway?
Now, how in the world do you know what Hemingway looked like when he was constipated?
Jeff would know these things.
Hello, Rabbi.
Hello, Marcia. What a pleasant surprise. Fancy seeing you here.
Yes. Tell me something, Rabbi. There's a couple different things with for the holiday tomorrow for Jerusalem Day.
A lot going on.
Which ones do you think?
Okay, we're good to go. Great. So I finished giving my classes in NYU, so I have a little more time on my hands, not a terrible amount of time. First, I'd like to tell everyone, it's with great joy, for the first time in 2 months, I davened with a minyan today. I'd like to thank our Governor Cuomo for allowing it. And it was good to be back. We davened outdoors. The person who was davening for the Amid was Rabbi Baruch Simon, who's already done with his shloshim for his father, but he had never said Kaddish yet. So hopefully this is a sign of good things, of things getting back to normal. As you well know, based on Marsha's announcement, tomorrow night is Yom Yerushalayim, and hence the change in schedule. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Yerushalayim from a Torah point of view. Obviously, we all have great love for Yerushalayim, but the question is, what is the actual significance of the great city of Jerusalem? The first time that we have any mention of Jerusalem in the Torah would seem to be very early, back in Parshas Lech Lecha. After the war of the four kings and the five kings, we hear that Umalgi Tzedek Melech Shorim Hotzi Lechem V'Yayim V'Hu Kohen Le'el Elyon. It says that Malki Tzedek, someone that we never heard of before, who is the king of Shalem, he went out to greet Avraham upon his victory. Who is this Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem? Targum Unkelus tells us Malki Tzedek, Malko de Yerushalem, that Malki Tzedek was the king of Jerusalem. So you see from there, the fact that Jerusalem had a king, that means that Jerusalem already existed, already in the time of Avraham Avinu, which was several centuries before we could even begin to talk about, for example, Yetzias Mitzrayim or Israel. Jerusalem predates Israel by hundreds and hundreds of years. Right? Based on this, we could say at least nearly 500 years, if not more. The city of Jerusalem is so old that we have a tradition in the Seder Hadoros that the city of Jerusalem that was also known as Yevus, right? It says Yevus, who is a descendant of Avimelech. Avimelech was the king of the Plishtim. Bana Chomas Yerushalayim. He built the original walls of Jerusalem, meaning that Jerusalem was a walled city for many, many years. When did he build it? Chaf Hei L'Yitziyasa Mimitzrayim. 25 years before we got out of Egypt, he already built the wall. So again, if we would do the math, right, Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, which means that Yitzchak was born in the year 2048, which means that Yetzias Mitzrayim was in 2448, that would mean that the walls of Jerusalem would date back to the year 2423. Right? We are now in the year 5780. So that means that we're talking about over 3,300 years ago. Now, that doesn't necessarily
Rabbi,
mean... Yes?
With all due respect, I suspect, I think, that it might have been 25 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it says Tuf Ayin Gimel.
Correct. I stand corrected. Thank you.
Yes.
So in fact... So that would still put us over 3,300 years. It would be 3,307 years ago. Right now, that does not mean the current walls of Jerusalem are that old. There is a possibility, and in fact, I think it is true, that the walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed and rebuilt in that time. But with that in mind, it means that Jerusalem as a city, meaning a walled city would give it the sign of a Syria city, that goes back over 3,300 years. He said, "Umirza chazach nicha achar kach tzion, ki nafal pachad Yehudim aleihem." Why did they, interesting, why did they build the walls of Jerusalem? To keep the Jews out. Right? Being that the Jews had left Egypt, and being that if this was 25 years after the leaving of Egypt, they realized that in 15 years they were coming in. So therefore, Jerusalem put up a wall to keep the Jews out. How ironic is that? So he says, "Afilu Yisrael sheyarshu ir Yerushalayim lo yachol lichus hamivtza ad yimei David." And in fact, it was such a strong wall that we were not successful in conquering Jerusalem until the time of David. And we'll have to see. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds that we physically were not able to take over the city of Jerusalem at that point. We'll see that not everybody agrees with that. But Jerusalem is a very, very old city. And it's been a walled city for 3,300 years. And it existed as a city, the type of city that actually had a king, for at least 400 years before that. Right, so we're talking about a most ancient city. If we go to Yehoshua in Perek Yud, when Yehoshua crosses over the Yarden and gets ready to take over, to attack the cities, we hear again about Jerusalem. Right, interesting. We hear Vayikishma Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim. If you remember from when we studied Yoshua, it's been a while. The first battle that we fought against when we crossed over was, come on, Marsh, you should know this. Joshi fought the battle of the, no one knows the Negin? Joshi fought the battle of the Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. So that was after he fought the battle of Jericho, the next battle was against Ai, right? And it says after he defeated Ai, right? Says by Hikishmo Adoni Tzedek Mel Yerushalayim Ki Lachad Yoshua Sai Kasher Also Jericho Umalka. He saw that he had beaten Ai just like he had beaten Jericho. Kein Also Ai Umalka V'chi Yishlimu Yoshev Givon Es Yisrael V'Yibikirbam. So he saw that everybody who had come forward, he had either beaten them in the war or they turned around and they surrendered. This fellow began to get nervous. Now, what was the name of the king? Adoni Tzedek. Adoni Tzedek sounds a lot like another king that we just heard about, because we only heard about one other king, and that is Malki Tzedek. So the king of Jerusalem, it seemed, would share with everybody... would share the name of Tzedek. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha says this is not coincidental. It says Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalom Hi Yerushalayim Kinin Shneamar VaYibe Shalom Suko Umalka Yikra Gam Yemei Yoshua Adoni Tzedek. So the Ramban on the Torah says that you had Malki Tzedek ki me'oz yodu agoyim ki ha'mokom hu mivchar ha'mokomos be'emtzai yishuv. Said, even the non-Jews, even before the Jews took over, even the non-Jews understood the holiness of the city of Jerusalem. Oshi yodu ma'losom be'kabolo shu mechuven k'neged beis ha'mikdash shel mala. That there is a tradition that we have that Jerusalem below lines up with Jerusalem on high. And therefore you have a special connection between the two of them. Right? And therefore, since God is considered justice, so too the king of Yerushalayim, even before it was a Jewish city, took on the name Tzedek. As we saw, Malki Tzedek and Adoni Tzedek. So that is the idea behind this, that we always have this idea that there is this Tzedek in it, and it was always a holy city. When Yeshua finally gets around to the city of Jerusalem, we hear that Yavusi Yoshua Yerushalayim Lo Yachu B'nei Yisrael Ahorisham. It says that in fact Yeshua was unable to conquer Jerusalem, and therefore Jerusalem remained a non-Jewish city to this day. Now we are, of course, to this day in this context does not mean to this day. It means up until the point that the book was written. So a few things I should point out here. One is every time we've seen the word Yerushalayim in the Navi, you'll notice something about the spelling. The word Yerushalayim in these cases is missing the second Yud. I read a statistic today. There's a wonderful sefer called Ha'ir HaKodesh VaHamikdash, which is largely about the Yerushalayim. It's written by Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tkachinsky. And he points out that the word Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh 658 times. Of those, only 11 times is it spelled with the second Yud. 647 times it's spelled this way. Overwhelmingly, the word Yerushalayim is not spelled Yerushalayim. In fact, if someone gets divorced in Jerusalem or gets married in Jerusalem, when we write the get or the ksuba, we leave out the second yud because the actual spelling is this well, which is interesting, which is why I guess it's called Jerusalem and not Jerusalem, because the spelling is Yerushalem. So it says here that when they finally crossed over, they were not able to conquer the city. Rashi tells us that that's not necessarily what it sounds like. Right? Rashi quotes a sifrei. It says, Shaninu b'sifrei, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer Yechon ho Yisrael elo shlo ho Yerushalayim, machmas hashvua shenishba Avram l'avi melech. He said it wasn't that they did not have the military might to take over Jerusalem, because they could have easily. However, we said that Yavus was a descendant of Avimelech. Avimelech was the Melech of Plishtim, and there was an agreement, there was a treaty made between the Avraham Avinu and Avimelech. And he said, in Tishkri, Lenini, Lenechti, Kacheset, etc., he said, in the event, right, that we'll have an agreement that you will not do any harm to me, my children, or my grandchildren. And because of this, we did not have a right to attack, because there was this agreement that went on. Now, you could ask me a good question. You could turn around and say, wait a second. How many years has this been since Avimelech? Right, so Avimelech, then Yitzchak, then Yaakov, then the Shvatim, then 210 years, then 40 years in the desert. That's a good 400 years and change. 450 years. You're telling me his grandkids were still alive then? So sometimes the standard answer is the least obvious one. Yeah. The assumption was that they were blessed with Arichus Yomim, much like our friends the Palestinians, who no one has ever died in a Palestinian refugee camp. Everybody who moved it in 1948, according to the UN count, is still, thank God, doing well. If you want to live forever, move into a Palestinian refugee camp. So the idea being that, yeah, at that point, there was still this agreement. So much so that when we move on to Shoftim, at the end of Shoftim, when we have the story of the Pilegesh Begiva, if you remember the story, it was the fellow who was traveling through Ephraim going to Binyamin, and he has to stop along the way, and things went horribly wrong. Before they stop in Binyamin, there's a suggestion at an earlier city that you can stop in. It says, that, so the his right-hand man said to him, his chief of staff, said, why don't we stay for the night in this city over here? Why don't we stay in Yerushalayim? What is the answer that he gives? It says, v'lo ova. He did not want to stop. Ish lalun. He did not. It says, v'yavo anochach yivus hi Yerushalayim v'imot semel chamrim chavushim pilak shalimo. As he opposed Jerusalem, because he said was part of Yavus. He says, Haim Yavus have Yom Raid mode, Yom Hana Adonov, Rechonov and Asuel Yavus, he has also an Olimbo. Why don't we just go into Jerusalem? Let's spend the night there. We could go to the King David. If you don't want to spend that much, you know, the Inbal, there's some lower end places we could stay also. Why don't we just go to Jerusalem? Said, no, sorry, I'm not going to stay in a non-Jewish city. I refuse to stop in Jerusalem. So you see that still at that point, Jerusalem was still not Jewish. Again, Jerusalem's not Jewish in the time of Avraham. Jerusalem's not Jewish in the time of Yahushua. Jerusalem's not Jewish in the time of the Shoftim. David HaMelech comes along. And David HaMelech says, this is enough already. It's probably time that we take over Jerusalem. It says, Vayerach HaMelech v'anashov Yerushalayim el ha-Yavusi Yoshev Haaretz v'yomer David le'mor lo sovo heino ki im hesiticha ivrim v'apischem le'mor lo yavo David heino. He shows up and they put up these statues. What are the statues? This is the standard understanding. He has a statue of a blind person and a lame person. And they tell him, David, as long as the blind and the lame is here, you can't come in. Does anyone have any idea what blind and lame is? So let's go on. Yoko David has Mitsura Tzion here, David. So David starts getting close there. Bayomu David, Bayomu kol Maki Yavusi Vigaba Tinor Vesa Piskin Vesa Ivrim Snue Nefesh David Al Ken Yomor Ivar Psecho Yovel Abayas. He said, if someone could please get rid of these and let's finally take over Jerusalem. The Radak explains to us what in the world is going on here. Right? So the Radak explains the Od Amru Kishneit Salamim Elu. What he was doing is he was mocking them. They said, we have an agreement. We made an agreement with the blind and the lame. Who is the blind? That's Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak, at the end of his days, lost his eyesight. Who is the lame? Who was Tzolea al Yerecho? That was Yaakov. After Yaakov went and he wrestled with the angel of Esav, he ended up limping. So they said to him, they said, listen, our agreement goes back to the Avos, David. You can't attack here. And David says, this has been forever. Enough with this already. So what happened? He said, "Befiyem Ashvua Shinistra Avram LaAvi Melach Shnema Im Tishka Li Lanini Lanechti Lefichi Ro Kavshu Yisrael Shekivshu As Yerushalayim Ki Adayin Hayenechin Avi Melach Chai." We made David Kvar Meisu Batla Ashvua. Finally, in the time of David, the last of his descendants died, and because of that, right? He was following the time of David. Jerusalem becomes a Jewish city. So that's what it took. That Jerusalem, for years and years and years, people knew it was a holy city. Right? There was an understanding of the holiness of what it was. The names of the kings were named after Tzedek, after Hashem. But based on these agreements that were made, we were not able to take over Yerushalayim until finally in the time of David. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us that when it comes to holiness, there are different levels of holiness in Israel. In fact, there are 10 different levels. So it says, Eser Kedushos Heim Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol Aratzos. Israel is holier than any other place. Umay Kedusha. So what's the indication that it is holy? Shemevim Imena HaOmer V'Bikurim V'Shteh Alechem Mashem Evim Mekol Aratzos. The fact that the Karban Omer, etc. has to be there. However, even within Israel, there are different levels. Ayaros HaMukofas Chomer Mekudeshes Mimena. However, even in Israel, the walled cities are holier than the non-walled cities. What's the sign? Because you can throw out somebody who has tzaras. And if there's you cannot bring a dead body into a walled city. Then he says, "Lifnim in achoma, inside the wall." So let's see, what does that mean? Mekudesh mehem. That's even holier. She'ochin as hakotchim kavim ma'aser sheni, and then harabais mekudesh mimenu. Look at the Rash explains, "Lifnim in achoma, haynu mechomas Yerushalayim." So he says that in general we know that there's levels of holiness. There is Israel. All walled cities in Israel are holier than non-walled cities. And Yerushalayim is even holier than that. What makes Yerushalayim holy? So the Mishnah lists off two things that makes Jerusalem holier than other cities. Number one is kachim kalim, right? There's certain lower levels of carbon can be eaten throughout Jerusalem. Anybody can come up with an example of what is something, a carbon that we eat in Jerusalem?
Ma'aser Sheni?
Well, Ma'aser Sheni isn't a carbon.
Pesach.
Correct. Carbon Pesach, right? You eat it, have to eat it in Yerushalayim. We have to bed everyone in there, right? So that's one thing.
You got down the road too far for me. I'm trying to understand about, I'm back with the blind and lame statues. Can I ask you a question with that?
Sure.
Okay, so I understand who they're identified with. I'm not clear about how that deal got set up. Who made the deal about the blind and the lame?
So Avram Avinu, if you look at Avram Avinu in Parshas Vayera.
Yeah.
Right, so Avi Melech, Melech Plishin, and Fichol, Tsar Tzvao, that Avi Melech, together with his chief of staff, show up and they make an agreement that they will not bother Avraham and Avraham will not bother them. That is the agreement that the two of them have.
And so, that means the city of Yerushalayim?
Right. So they, Avi Melech, has a descendant named Yevus. And Yevus, the descendant, in fact, turns around and he is the one who builds Jerusalem. And therefore, since it is technically a child, a descendant of Avimelech, we do not have the ability to take it on. So that's what we're saying. So therefore, that was why, as long as there were descendants, We could not take over the land of that they had.
So let me just ask another quick question on that. So I understand the agreement, but I thought Yerushalayim is Ira Kodesh for us. And so
Israel is ours, but we had to first conquer it in the time of Yehoshua.
Okay.
There's a lot of history before that. And we, because of this agreement, we were not able to get, for hundreds of years, even after Yeshua came in, it remained a non-Jewish city in the middle of Israel. Interestingly enough. So according to the Gemara, there's two things that make Yerushalayim holier than any other place. One is Kachim Kalim, right? There are certain carbonos. Yes, Ted.
Quick question.
Sure. No, you can't use an umbrella.
I understand. Although I disagree.
Okay.
So the question is, Avi Malach was a Philistine from the Plishtim, right?
Correct.
This agreement apparently is only for Yerushalayim because there have been conflicts with the Plishtim back in the days of the Shoftim. Constant conflict with Samson, etc. So does this agreement not bear fruit for other areas of Israel?
So it's an excellent question. I think there are two answers to that. One is all of the battles that we had prior to this were defensive, right? There's no sign that we ever attacked beforehand.
But they attacked us. I thought the
right, meaning,
agreement was reciprocal.
So you're saying that's A. B is the second thing is not all Philistinians are descendants of Avimelech. Meaning that we had an agreement. This wasn't an agreement with the Philistine nation. It was an agreement with this one fellow. So because of that, you know, I think that would be another answer as to why we were constantly fighting with them. But this city in particular, we were limited in our ability to take over. Okay. So again, as we said, according to the Mishnah, there are two things that makes Jerusalem holy. One thing is this ability to eat certain karbanos, like Karban Pesach. And the second, as Yitzhak did say correctly, is to eat Maaser Sheni. What's Maaser Sheni? So there is a seven-year cycle of the Matnos Kahuna, of the gifts that we give to the various receivers. Every year we give Truma to the Kohen. Every year we give Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Right? Steve gets the Truma. Yitzhak gets the Maaser. Then in years 3 and 6, there is Maaser Ani, right? We give that to Shlomo to give out through Tomchei. And then in the other years, in the years 1, 2, 4, and 5, we have what's called Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is we take 10% of what's left after we give the other gifts. That 10% is more like 8.8% at that point. You take it to Jerusalem and you eat it there. Right, so the fact that we can eat that only in Jerusalem, that is another sign. That's the second sign. According to the Mishnah, those are the only two things that he lists. However, the commentaries on the Mishnah already point out that it's a very, very incomplete list. There are many, many, many halachas that make Jerusalem special in comparison to other cities. So, for example, if you look at the Rash, which is a commentary on the Mishnah, he says, Lifnim me'achoma. So he says, that is hainu me'chomas Yerushalayim. Va'od me'kudash le'kama dvarim. Va'tanan hacha kagon le'inyun shochet as ha'toda lifnim me'achoma. In order to shrech the tovin carbon toda, if someone brings an offering of thanks for something that very good happened to them, that has to be done in Yerushalayim. Right, he goes through a list of cases that we have. A Zaken Mamre, right, has to give his decision in Jerusalem, etc. The truth of the matter is he didn't have to look that far. The Radvaz in number 13 gives a case that's more common, and that's what's called Neta Revai. Neta Revai means as follows. If I plant a tree, I plant an apple tree, let's say, for example, for the first 3 years, I'm not allowed to eat the fruits. It's very interesting. Last year, if you remember, my family and I took off 2 days from Denver and we flew up to Missoula, Montana. And from there, we went to Glacier National Park. Very beautiful. I strongly recommend it if it ever reopens. When we were there on the way back, we went cherry picking. And when we got to the cherry picking place, I think Agi got some of our cherries. They were very delicious. And the fellow who planted the trees pointed out to us that those trees over there were just planted last year, and look how much they're already producing. So that's very nice of him to tell us, because that meant it was usser. Once you know for sure this was done, and I told the kids, you're not allowed to pick from that tree, because that's what's called orla, a tree in its first 3 years. In Israel, from the Torah, outside of Israel, for midrabanan, whether it's owned by a Jew or a non-Jew, you're not allowed to take the fruits for the first 3 years. In the fourth year, you're allowed to eat the fruit, but you're only allowed to eat the fruit in Yerushalayim. That's called Netta Ravai. If it's grapes, it's called Kerem Ravai. And in fact, the Radvaz points out, if you look at the Rambam, he quotes his halachas, Hilchos Meiser Sheni V'Netta Ravai. Right? The Rambam puts them both together and he explains, Netta Ravai, hey, who kodesh? Netta Ravai, domo Meiser Sheni, l'dvarim harbe. So Netta Ravai is like Meiser Sheni, meaning that this is something else that makes Jerusalem holy. Your Netta Ravai has to be in Jerusalem.
What does that mean? That I don't understand. That does that cover cherry trees in America?
Yes, according to the rabbinically, it's interesting. A good question someone could ask me is: wait a second. In Israel, I know when I go to a fruit store. In America, I go to King Supers. I'll buy fruits. I'll buy vegetables without any rabbinic supervision. Right? Even the VAD doesn't tell you you need rabbinic supervision on that. The question is, but in Israel, we do require it because there's Trumas and Maisras. So the question is, wait a second, what about Orla? Orla applies in America also. So the answer is no. In America, it's rabbinic. And since it's rabbinic, we rely on Safek Drabbanan. If I don't know, right, ignorance of the law is in fact a good excuse for this. That's why we will buy one. If I know as a fact that it grew, you know, in the first two, three years, then, right. like my case of the cherry tree, right? Then, in fact, you would not be allowed to eat from it.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure. Next thing that you have to eat in Yerushalayim, again, this is a Steve Halacha, right? And Alex, right? Kohen she'achal bikurim liYerushalayim, right? That when lokem in a Torah, if a Kohen eats bikurim outside of Yerushalayim, you get malchus for that. Bikurim have to be eaten in Jerusalem, right? So we have already at least three. We have Karban Pesach has to be eaten in Jerusalem because it's holier, right? Your Netta Ravai has to be in there. Your Maaser Sheni has to be in there. Your Bikurim have to be in there, right? So there are many halachas of things that have to be eaten in Jerusalem. Not only that, but it's not just certain things when it comes to eating. Jerusalem is holier for other reasons. For example, the Rambam in number 15 tells us that the old tradition was that only in the Beis HaMikdash and its environs would we shake lulav 7 days. Outside of that, in Denver, you would originally, the minhag was, you would only take the lulav on day number one. When the Rambam says that you go and you take, that they used to take it for 7 days by Mikdash, that means the entire city of Jerusalem. Again, Rabbi, even when it comes to the laws of Lulav, it's different. Yes, Yossi.
Weren't they also blowing the shofar on Shabbos in Beis HaMikdash?
So that's a good, Yossi makes a very good point. I left it off the sheet because it's a little bit of a longer story. Once Yossi points it out, I'll go for it. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, as I believe it does this year, yes, right, this year, right, we're gonna have a Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. God willing, we'll all be in shul, and Yitzchak will not have to run from house to house over the entire east side of blowing shofar. But assuming that everything is normal. Right, so what we're going to do, so Shabbos is the first day, Sunday's the second day. So what we do, we being everybody does, is that we do not blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We're only going to blow on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, it said b'mikdash, right? If you look at the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, it says that in the mikdash they would blow in front of the Sanhedrin would blow. What does b'mikdash, what does Sanhedrin mean? So there is an opinion of the Rif. The Rif says b'mikdash means the entire Yerushalayim. And also, not only that, but it says Sanhedrin means any basin of three, even if they're not smuchim. According to the opinion of the Rif, nowadays in Jerusalem, you could still blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. This happened in the year 1905. I remember it well. So in the so there was a story of Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. Rabbi Akiva Sofer announced that he wanted to do it. He wanted to follow the Rif. He wanted to blow shofar, and it was a big taram. Rav Shmuel Salant was involved. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was opposed to it. The Aderes, who was I think the father-in-law of Rav Kook, right? He supported it, etc. And there is a question as to what actually happened in the end. The rumor has it that he himself did blow shofar on that Shabbos. But that's, again, a special din of Yerushalayim, but it's only according to the Rif.
Is that true today?
So, again, if you follow his opinion, it would be true even today. There's no difference between today, 2020, and in 1905. Nothing has changed about it.
Good. Okay, I get it.
So again, as far as I know, I think nobody in Yerushalayim at this point does it. Not that I'm aware of. It's hard to say nobody. I assume the temple though does blow on Rosh Hashanah Shecholios B'Shabbos, right?
Does the Mechaber address this?
What?
Does the Mechaber address this?
I don't remember. If you're interested in reading up on it, though, Yitzhak, the best thing to do is Sefer HaTodaah.
Yes.
Has a nice article on it, as does, I think, Rev Zevin's Sefer as well.
Thank you.
They both have, I think Rev Zevin not only has the halachas, but even has the historical story behind it. Rev Zevin was around for it and wrote about it. It's a very fascinating story. Taka, maybe we'll discuss it this year. Now that we have Rosh Hashanah, Shecholios B'Shabbos this year. It's a topic that might be very worthwhile. Right, Ella? Good.
So I'm asking, does it make sense to just go over the rudimentary understanding about why we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Because if it's allowed in Yerushalayim, why wouldn't we do it anyway?
In Yerushalayim. Nobody does it.
Right, the reason why it would potentially be allowed in Yerushalayim and not here is, according to our tradition, which is the Gemara in the Bavli, says the reason that we don't blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos is fear that someone's going to carry it outside of the Erev.
Right.
However, if this is being done under the watchful eye of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, we are not as concerned about it.
Right. So I guess my question is it, why can't we do it? Is it because there's no Sanhedrin to be the watchful eye?
So again, there's two possibilities. The people who disagree with the Rif either say because that you need a real Sanhedrin of either 70 ordained rabbis or 23 ordained rabbis or 3 ordained rabbis, as opposed to what we have now, is 3 unordained rabbis.
Right? That's not a trick word.
I remember many years ago, I got into trouble in Idos because I got up and I pointed out that I don't have smicha. Right? No, nobody has smicha nowadays. So people thought I was a fraud. I might be a fraud, but not because of that. That's not the reason. So
I'm with you.
Good. Okay, let's move on. So we have here, Yerushalayim is holier for the reason of Lulav and Esrog. According to this, also Yerushalayim may be holier because of not just Lulav and Esrog, maybe also because of Tkiya Shofar. The Tosefta Negayim has another long list of things that make Yerushalayim different than all other cities. Next is that there's a concept of Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is if when we find a murdered body on the road, we measure to the nearest city, and whoever the nearest city is has to go through a ceremony, you know, is somewhat asking forgiveness that this person died under our watch. Yerushalayim never does that. Yerushalayim can never be that city. It gets a pass. Right? Also, Einasis Ir Nir Nidachas. There's a rule that if a city, the majority of the people are idol worshippers, the city gets destroyed. Yerushalayim can never be that. Rav Nasan Omar Af Ein Ba Mishum Ben Soro Morer. Not only that, but the idea of the rebellious child who gets put to death gets a pass in Jerusalem as well. Right? And it explains why that is true. Next, right? Ein Malinim Bas Hameis. We don't, a dead body has to be buried that day. We do not leave it overnight. Right? I remember we had an issue in the shul. I think Judy Schreiber, I forget. I think it was Judy. Was it your mother, your father?
Waited for you? Yeah, it was my mother.
Your mother, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember being shocked.
Yeah.
I remember I told you when you were in Newark already, sit shiva, because there's no way they're waiting for you, because this is the halacha here.
Yeah.
Was she actually in Jerusalem? I never figured that out.
Was my mother?
Yeah, I mean, did she pass away?
She was in Jerusalem. They waited for my brothers. They said, because my brother, we got there, and my brother was still on the way, and by the time he got there, it was already, you know, the night, so it was the next day. They waited, and they...
Right, yeah. So again, I remember being shocked by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only case I ever heard of. Right, so the idea is because this is the Tosefta. In Jerusalem, you don't leave. Maybe they held that it was since it was outside the old city.
I don't know.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rabbi, also, you don't bring a dead body into Jerusalem. Well, Yossi?
It's the only place in Israel where they do funerals at night.
Correct.
Until this day. 11 o'clock at night, they do funerals near Shalayim.
Not the only place. My father was buried in the middle of the night in Beit Shemesh.
Oh, maybe they adopted that minhag. But
they followed the minhag. I remember because the idea is that the day of the kvura, you don't put on tefillin.
Yeah,
that's the halacha. But most people, by the time the kvura is over, shachris is long gone. I had the halacha that the next morning I still couldn't put on tefillin because it was the day of the kvura because they did it in the middle of the night.
So hers was at night also,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's different there. Right. So again, these are all different halachas that you have. There's a long, long list of halachas that what makes Yerushalayim different. The last halacha, number 17, the Mishnah tells us Hakol Malim Eretz Yisrael Veina Kol Motzin. Hakol Malim Yerushalayim Veina Kol Motzin. If a husband wants to make aliyah and the wife refuses to go, right, then he has a right to divorce her, and he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. If the wife wants to make aliyah and the husband doesn't want to go, we can force him to divorce her and yes, pay the ksuba. Just like that is the halacha, so too, if she wants to move to Yerushalayim and he doesn't, same halacha or vice versa. Again, Yerushalayim has this higher level of holiness, and since Yerushalayim has a higher level of holiness, right, a person who wants to move there, we in fact force the case on them. In fact, if you take a look at it at the end, Rav Tikhchinsky points out that there are actually 25 halachas that make Yerushalayim different than all other cities. That even though the Mishnah only has two reasons, if you add them up, there are 25 different halachas which show that Jerusalem is the holiest of all of our cities in Israel. And he breaks it down, he says, and there are different reasons for it, right? Different halachas based on different reasons. He said, he has five different categories. Some of them is because this is different because Jerusalem is holier. Sometimes it's because nobody owns Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem was not owned by an individual tribe, but it was jointly owned by all the tribes, right? Another reason is because you have to keep your, why would the dead bodies have to be buried right away? Because again, we have to keep it ritually pure. People are coming there all the time to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, that's the halacha, that in fact, Jerusalem is definitely the holiest of all cities, and there's 25 different halachas that prove it. Now, that's all very nice, but the question is, why is Jerusalem so holy? Is Jerusalem holy because it has the Beis HaMikdash? Or is Jerusalem holy in its own right, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or not? On the one hand, right, a lot of these halachas point to the fact that what made it holy was the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, as we said, there was some intrinsic holiness before we even got there. So that's a very important machlokas. If you look at the Gemara in Megillah, number 19, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati Shemakrivin Af Al Pi She'ein Bayis. Ochem kachin klashim af al pish ein kelayim kadachim kalam no meiser sheni af al pish ein choma. So he says, even though the Beis HaMikdash is gone, according to the first opinion, you could still bring karbanos on Har Habayis. Instead of a mizbeach, you could still bring a carbon there. You could still, even if the walls of Jerusalem get knocked down, you can still eat meiser sheni there. Why? Because when we first came in and we made it holy, it was a permanent holiness. And even if the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed, it doesn't make a difference. But this is a machlokes. Not everyone agrees that it maintained its holiness. This machlokes goes down to a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. This is a very important machlokes. The Rambam writes, "Kol makom shlo nase b'chol elu k'seder hazeh ein kadosh gomer v'zeh she'asa Ezra shtei todos v'zichron hu she'asa lo b'masov niskadesh hamakom shlo hayashem lo melech lo urim v'tumim b'mamis kadeshes b'kedusha rishona k'itcher shlema to kiddush ha'azara v'yushlayim l'shayt v'kitcher l'asa lavo." The Rambam said that what Ezra did when he came back for the second coming wasn't that relevant. What was important was what happened the first time by Shlomo. When Shlomo made Yerushalayim and the Har HaBayis Kodesh, that was permanent. It could never be removed. Even though perhaps the rest of Israel could lose its Kedusha, Yerushalayim could not. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid has a very fascinating opinion. He said, Amar Avram Svaras Atzmohi. The Rambam made this up. It's not true. I don't know where he came up with it. He says, if you're going to tell me that the holiness of Israel can disappear, so too the holiness of Yerushalayim can disappear. So too the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash could disappear. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were thrown out of Israel, the Kedusha was gone. When we came back for the second coming in the time of Ezra, it came back, it got thrown out again, it goes out again. According to the Ravid, Jerusalem is not holy at this point. The Beis HaMikdash, Makom HaMikdash, is not holy. According to the Ravid, a person that signed, please do not go up to the mosque, it's not true. According to the Ravid, a Jew is allowed to go up there. But on the other hand, there's no reason why a Jew would want to go up there. Because according to the Ravid, the Kedusha is lost. It's gone.
So the holiness is in the people, not in the city, not in the place?
The holiness was because of the building, the Beis HaMikdash. Because there was a Beis HaMikdash, that led to the holiness of the mountain of the Mikdash. And from that, it spilled over to Jerusalem. When you lose out on the Aron and the Beis HaMikdash, right, nothing else gets its holiness either. So based on this understanding of the Ravid, God willing, soon enough we'll have a third Beis HaMikdash, but until that, there is no holiness in Jerusalem. All these things that I spoke about beforehand are no longer relevant because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The Rambam disagrees. How do we follow? Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah takes this up. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, HaNichnas at l'makom mikdash chayiv kares. He agrees with that sign. He says, in the event that you go up to the Beis HaMikdash at this point, you are liable for kares. Right?
Wow.
So therefore, he's very clear that the holiness is still there. And in fact, that's what we hold like. Yeah. Now, because we hold like that, right, so the idea being, so let's say, so nowadays we still take Maaser Sheni. Can we still eat it in Yerushalayim? Right? What is the halacha nowadays? So the Rambam says that technically we should be allowed to eat it. However, the bottom line is that we have a halacha which basically points to when the Mizbeach is gone, right, there's a connection. When you can eat karbanos, you can eat Maaser Sheni. Since there are no karbanos anymore, we do not eat Maaser Sheni. So looking at the Rambam in Maaser Sheni, he says, Maaser Sheni nechol lebalov refni mechovatzo Yerushalayim, shnema v'achat refnei Hashem alokecha, v'makom asher yefcha reshachin shmo sham. V'noed b'fnei habayis shelo b'fnei habayis. Whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or not, you should be able to eat the Maaser Sheni. Aval, eino nechol b'Yerushalayim elo b'fnei habayis. But l'maisa, practically we don't. Why? There is a connection between the Maaser and the Bechor. Because of that, we take off Maaser Sheni. However, we don't eat it anymore because since there is no Mizbeach, we're not allowed to eat it. So theoretically, Jerusalem is still holy. And we still have the right to eat it. However, there's a side law which stops us from doing this. So that is the halacha, the way we have it. That in fact, we at this point, that in when there is a mizbeach, we in fact do these things. We eat the netar ravai, we eat the maaser sheni. We don't nowadays, but according to what we hold, the fact that we don't eat maaser sheni, it's not that there is a lack of holiness of Yerushalayim. The holiness is still there, but there is a side issue that stops us. So in sum, Jerusalem has been holy for a very, very long time. And even it took us a while to get it, right? The fact that, again, maybe the Philistines had it before it, not the Palestinians. They did not have it before us. But the Philistinians, they probably just got a little confused with that. But the bottom line is they haven't had it since the time of David. We've had it pretty solid since then. The Beis HaMikdash has unfortunately come and gone twice, but the holiness of the city is still there. And the connection of the city of Yerushalayim to, even though it's not Yerushalayim HaBenuyah at this point, at this point, we don't have the binyan that we are waiting for, the Beis HaMikdash. It is still exceedingly important to us. And therefore, tomorrow, Yom Yerushalayim, is a very important day. It's a day that is undoubtedly historic. And it's a day that we hope is definitely a step in the way of Reishis Smichas Geulaseinu and Aschalta de Geula. That, you know, Israel, as we said, has a certain level of Kedusha. Yerushalayim has a holy level of Kedusha. It's a step much closer to the Beis HaMikdash.
And it is so how long have we had the holiday of Yom Yerushalayim? Because I understood it to be relatively...
This is the 53rd year, I believe.
So why only 50-some years ago? How come there wasn't some kind of celebration before 50 years ago?
Because we didn't have it before 50. In 1967, we took control of Jerusalem.
Correct. Yes, I guess.
As they said back then, Har Habayit Bi'adenu.
Correct. That's exactly what happened. 53 years ago tomorrow on Koach Iyar, that's the day that it happened. And therefore we celebrate it. We celebrate it as a step in the right direction, and we hope and pray that the next step is soon. So everybody's encouraged to tomorrow night to log on to the special Yom Yerushalayim program out of Israel. And then afterwards, on Friday morning, we, as a community, will remotely say Hallel together. And, you know, God willing, as a community, we will be doing it in Jerusalem proper in the very near future. Everybody should have an early Good Shabbos. Everyone hopefully is responding to the Gabbai's email. And I hope and pray that things are heading in the right direction. And as wonderful as remote shiurim are, I look forward to having a live shiurim in the near future.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Rabbi.